From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. NATO is endorsing the Bush administration's plans to use bases in Poland and the Czech Republic for a missile defense system. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
U.S. officials at the NATO summit in Bucharest told reporters that the alliance recognizes the protection a missile shield would give to Europe from long-range missile threats, particularly from the Middle East. They urged Russia to drop its objections to the plan. Officials have also sounded pleased about the troop commitments for Afghanistan. As a French battalion arrives later this year, the U.S. is planning to move troops to southern Afghanistan to meet Canada's demand for a partner in the fight against the Taliban. The issue of NATO expansion didn't go the Bush administration's way, however. France and Germany oppose U.S. calls to put Ukraine and Georgia on track for membership in the alliance. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Bucharest.
While President Bush is overseas at the NATO meeting, the Senate is expected to begin debating a bipartisan housing proposal. The plan was unveiled yesterday. NPR's Brian Naylor reports.
The bill, titled the Foreclosure Prevention Act of 2008, was worked out behind closed doors by a bipartisan group of senators. It's aimed at addressing the problems faced by families and communities because of the foreclosure crisis. It would make FHA-backed mortgages more available, provide money for communities to buy foreclosed properties, and tax credits for individuals who do. It also gives returning veterans more time before foreclosure proceedings can be started against them. The Senate is expected to debate the measure the rest of this week. Brian Naylor, NPR News, the Capitol.
Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke told the Congressional Joint Economic Committee yesterday that Congress, and not the Fed, is the appropriate body to address the problems of homeowners facing foreclosure. He and other major players in the rescue of investment bank Bear Stearns are to appear before a Senate panel this morning. The Fed backed a $29 billion lifeline to Bear Stearns as part of a deal for rival J.P. Morgan to take over Bear Stearns. Yesterday, Bernanke told the Joint Economic Committee that was the right thing to do.
We did what we did because we felt it was necessary to preserve the integrity and viability of the American financial system, which in turn is critical for the health of the economy.
Bernanke said the sudden failure of Bear Stearns, which was going bankrupt due to overexposure to subprime mortgage debt, could have had severe market repercussions that he said would be very difficult to contain. Oil prices have held steady today in Asian trading after jumping more than $3 per barrel yesterday on reports of high gasoline demand in the U.S. Crude for May delivery dropped 18 cents by midday in Singapore to $104.65 per barrel. European stock prices fell in early trading today after a two-day rally. Wall Street futures are down this morning. This is NPR News. There's still no final word on the results of Zimbabwe's presidential election held over the weekend, but the ruling party now says it expects a runoff election between longtime President Robert Mugabe and his opponent. Mugabe's party has lost its parliamentary majority. Europe's biggest and most complex spacecraft ever is set to dock with the International Space Station today. NPR's Nell Greenfield-Boyce has details.
The spaceship is called the Jules Verne. It was built by the European Space Agency, and it's the size of a London double-decker bus. There's no astronauts on board. It's a robotic cargo truck, which can carry tons of supplies to the space station. It blasted off last month, but didn't head straight to its destination. It had to wait until Space Shuttle Endeavour finished a mission and returned to Earth. Over the last week, tests showed that the Jules Verne was maneuvering as planned, so station managers have given it the go-ahead for a docking attempt. Astronauts on board the outpost will be able to monitor the robotic ship as it approaches. If something seems to be going wrong, they have a red button they can push that will make the ship retreat to a safe location. Nell Greenfield-Boyce, NPR News.
The U.S. military says it is spending more than $150 million per month on fuel in Iraq, one of the world's most oil-rich countries. The military says it's burning more than 50 million gallons of fuel each month there. Democratic Senator Carl Levin of Michigan and Republican John Warner of Virginia want to know more about that and about how the Iraqi government is managing its finances. They've written the Government Accountability Office asking why American taxpayers are underwriting large amounts of reconstruction and provision of services in Iraq when it's earning billions from oil. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.